Hello, my name is Mary Kay, and this is KTWHLP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, hearing local voices.
Well, welcome to Listeners' Voices for this Saturday, May 10th, Fund Drive Week here at KTWH, and I'm happy to share the fact that I have Michelle Miller here co-hosting with me again. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, good morning. Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is always fun to come on in and help out our local community radio.
Right, and this may be the first time you're on live doing this?
Yes.
We pre-recorded one. We've done one in the past. I can't remember about that, farther in the past. But yeah, it's always fun when it's live. You never really know what's going to happen. We can't repair anything before it goes out on the airwaves. We can repair it for the replay on Monday night. But hopefully we'll mind our business here. So the prompt for this week, this is a show where we put out a prompt every couple of weeks and invite people to respond, either written or recorded with a voice memo and emailed to us. And either way, you can email them to ktwhwriters@gmail.com, or bring them right in here to the studio while you're bringing your donation for the spring fund drive. That's always a possibility. I'll be here, I know, till at least 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock today, and during the week there'll be people around quite a bit. The fund drive itself goes through next Wednesday, but I digress here. We invite these responses and do these programs at 11 on Saturdays. The Saturday program is repeated at 9 on the following Monday. And the more recent episodes are all archived on the website under the programs dropdown. You can get an idea of what we do if this is new to you. So the prompt for the last couple of weeks has been, what nonprofits, organizations, or other endeavors do you share your free time, talents, and or money with, and why? This was inspired by the fact that we are in our fund drive time now. We talked about community radio a year ago, and I thought, well, let's hear about other things that people do. And apparently people were not particularly inspired by this prompt. We've had one recorded submission and one written submission other than what Michelle and I will be sharing with you. But they have led to other ideas, and we also have a little bit of follow-up. We always welcome responses to previous prompts, however old those prompts might be, but especially the previous prompt often gets some belated response. And we have a little bit of follow-up on the previous one, which was, what are the personal impacts on you of the changes going on in the federal government in funding and or programming? So we'll get to that later, but we're switching the order of things. We used to do belated responses first up, but I think people tune in to hear what the current response of the biweekly cycle is, and we'll lead off with those this time. But yes, it is the fund drive week started about a week ago, and it's going to go through Wednesday. I haven't had any updates on how it's going. I know we were about halfway along as of about Thursday, and we especially are hoping to upgrade some things in the studio here. You'll hear more about that later. We want to make it safer and more soundproof. You may have heard things in the past where you can tell there's a conversation going on in the background of whatever it is you're trying to listen to. So we're trying to lessen that as much as possible. We'll give you some details about that in a bit, but let's get into our one and only recorded submission this week from our loyal contributor, Richmond. I believe he's still in the 100% club. He has responded to every episode. Yes,
nice.
You get the prize for that, Richmond.
Yes.
And that'll be, I guess I'll explain then after we hear from Richmond here.
What nonprofits, organizations, or other endeavors do you share your free time, talents, and or money with, and why? The foremost nonprofit that I share my free time and money with is our very own KTWH. The why of it is a sense of being involved in contributing to something larger than myself that is of benefit to others in the community. Of course, doing radio, producing content, and being on the air satisfies my personal enjoyment for being creative, making new friends, and hearing others' voices. It's better, more fulfilling than the Amazon Fulfillment Center. I used to contribute to the Superior Hiking Trail with an annual membership, and also volunteered for a year as a trail mentor, where I worked with a young 30-something Vietnamese man visiting family here in Minnesota. He was an outdoor enthusiast who was hungry for knowledge of the SHT's trails and campsites. One of his and mine most satisfying moments was when, with my guidance, he and a friend were able to spend a night or two at the coveted Bear Lake Lakeside campsite on the Bean Bear SHT Loop. One of my favorite haunts is Flood Bay Wayside Rest. The beach, the marsh, the woodlands. There's a lot of wildlife, sea otters, eagles, red-winged blackbirds, beaver, blue heron, even the quick flash of a lynx. There are also plenty of humans. Mostly they linger in the parking lot. Sometimes they're out on the beach hunting for agates, swimming or throwing sticks out on the water for their dog to fetch. The humans are mostly harmless. However, they may sometimes be careless with their trash, leaving it strewn across the parking lot and down on the beach. Most troublesome are the discarded cigarette butts. When I'm feeling up for it, I'll comb the parking lot and beach and collect the yuck. Yuckity yuck. I don't like handling cigarette butts or wet stuff. That's why the latex gloves left over from COVID days will be going into my car tomorrow, so as to be more comfortable with handling the yuck. Maybe it was Frances last week on Listener's Voices talking about how she does trash pickup along Highway 61 and encounters lots of discarded cigarette butts, renewed daily. I used to do that, toss cigarette butts out the vehicle window while driving, though I've changed my ways decades past, relinquishing both habits. A week ago, I was hanging out at the Superior Hiking Trail Forge Road Trailhead. As I walked across the lot, there was a crumpled-up soda can. I picked it up. Then there was something else, plastic. I picked that up, too, and placed it in the large Aldi's reusable bag that is always with me for when the mood strikes to pick up yuck. Well, I started looking around that parking lot, and pretty soon we had an Aldi's bag full of yuck. I didn't have gloves on, and we'd had rain, so it was yuckity yuck. Then looking past where the snow berms were this winter from the lot being plowed, I saw a pile of stuff. Stuff that upon closer inspection showed some bedding, a piece of clothing, and a tall trash can bag full of stuff. Wet stuff. Yuckety stuff. I really did not want to handle this, but eventually my nerve and verve won out, and I dragged the sloppy mess into my car, drove home, and discarded of it properly, down the trash chute of my apartment building, where we all discard our own personal yuck. Whoosh! Why do I do it? Picking up others' trash? Because that's what I learned as a youngster at the YMCA Camp Icagwin on Lake Wapagasset out by Amory, Wisconsin. Some of what I learned there was, leave no trace behind and leave the campsite in better condition than when you found it. Here's a bit of Camp Icagwin theme song. I hope you enjoy it. On the shores of Wapagasset, with its lovely lapping waters, meet the sky of azure blue. There the whippoorwills are singing, the forests all are ringing, there's a smell of campfires too. Campacaguan, hey, Campacaguan, hey, Campacaguan, we love you.
Beautifully done, Richmond. Thank
you. That was so awesome. And listening to that, Fran, I was thinking, that's the beauty of this program and the exercise of writing is the prompt. He started off responding to the prompt, mm-hmm. and then free flow writing or talking just brings, this whole different message, and it was so entertaining, and mm-hmm. that's why these prompts I think are just amazing, because I could have wrote 3 pages from this prompt. I just kept going off on other things, and so that's so if you are just tuning in for the first time, or you have been tuning in and for some reason haven't felt the urge to submit a prompt, that it really is, and that was the intent, was a free form writing project that can be a minute or can be 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And it can be just off the cuff. And
exactly.
And we have the recorded one, so that, like Richmond just does that on his iPhone and sends it in, or he may do it in a different way because we get it as an MP3 from him, but okay. We can convert iPhone audios to MP3s and play them. And that, and you don't need to think of yourself as a writer to contribute. This
exactly.
is just because really the point is to get more engagement from our listeners. And whether you think of yourself as a writer or not, you have something to say. You probably have some thoughts about this, about ways that you contribute to your community, or that you have in the past, or that someone you know does. And that's what we want to hear about. So Richmond's submission inspired me. Usually at the top of the show, we like to give a preview of the next week's subject, but I didn't want to issue a spoiler at that time, but I can do that now. Listening to him sing his camp song, I just thought of other camp songs I've heard in the past, and I decided the prompt for the next episode of Listener's Voices, which will be May 24th, is summer camp.
I think that's a great one.
Great.
Just about everybody has a story about summer camp.
Right, yes. I've heard funny stories on other radio programs on another well-known network in our area. This American Life, I think, has had mm-hmm. a series on summer camp that's really fun. So, great. And I'm probably going to... We're going to hear a couple of summer camp songs while we're thinking of it. I'll probably run these by you again in 2 weeks because they're such classic camp songs. They may come to mind first, and I will dig out some others, and I'll have to rack my brain about others I recall from my childhood. But this one, I think, will be familiar to many of you. Should we sing along on our mics, Michelle?
Oh, I value our listeners, so I'm not going to subject them to...
Okay. We'll turn off our microphones while we sing along.
You are more than welcome to. But...
No, I won't on my own, but at home you are welcome to. You may well be familiar with this if you're old enough, I guess. Probably people in their 20s and 30s might not have heard this, but enjoy. And then... Well, I'll introduce the next one as well.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining, and they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators, and the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads to us from something called Ulysses. Now I don't want, this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me home, oh Marafada, take me home. I hate Granada, don't leave me out in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home, I promise I will not make noise or mess the house with other boys. Oh, please don't make me stay. I've been here one whole day. Dearest Fada, darling mother, how's my precious little brother? Let me come home if you miss me. I would even let Aunt Bertha hug and kiss me. Wait a minute, it stopped hailing. Guys are swimming, guys are sailing, playing baseball, gee, that's better. Mata Fata, kindly disregard this letter.
That, of course, was the inimitable Alan Sherman. And for some reason, that makes me think of my brother. I think I learned about Alan Sherman from my older brother, who was a big fan way back, that was many decades ago. So I hope many of you enjoyed that. And if you heard it for the first time, I think you would have enjoyed it just as much. So you are going to regret me playing this next camp song. It's only 50 seconds long. But it is the worst earworm.
I don't even know what it is yet. So she's been pumping this up, okay. So I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
What you get?
I had to search a little bit on YouTube to find the exact right wording. As I recalled it, there was just a slight change difference in wording, that many of the other versions had. But this is just I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
Okay, here we go.
Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever I go out, the people always shout, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, da 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 da. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever I go out, the people always shout, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, da 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 da. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name. Whenever I go out, the people always shout, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Da 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 da.
Okay, I promise to harass you with that in 2 weeks as well.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's the thing about camp songs, though, and we can talk about this at the prompt of summer camps for May 24th, but that's what camp songs, I think, are designed to do. You know, that, oh, my goodness, I was a camp counselor for years, and it would take almost a year to get these songs out of your head. I still have songs in my head that will just
good. You'll be a great resource for that next show. All right,
yep.
Yes.
I went
to many camps. I was a camp counselor 1 year. It was so out of character. I am not the camp counselor type. So, but it was exceptional circumstances. I'll save that for the next episode. We've gotten on a tangent here, thanks to Richmond.
Yep, for sure. Oh, that's wonderful.
The prompt, if you don't recall how we got here, it's what organizations or nonprofits you share your free time and or money with and why. And we had one written contribution here from Denise, and I will share that with you now. It's very short, but to the point. Thank you for this important question. I am active in several nonprofits which share my values and interests. One is the Duluth Fiber Guild, as art and weaving are important social and creative outlets for me. Others are Indivisible Groups and Emmanuel Lutheran Church, which uplift my spirit in these chaotic times under the current administration. The last group is our local Bone Builders Senior Exercise Group, which helps me stay physically and mentally active. Thank you, Denise. And I know of, we both know of lots of volunteer effort that is put into various organizations around the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to share some of those too. And I guess I'll do this right now. This was Becky's contribution a year ago for, I think I might have mentioned that, for Fun Drive Week. We had submissions about community radio in general. And this is actually Becky just praising community radio in general, which fits with our Fun Drive theme this morning as well. She doesn't really tout her own volunteer participation, but we have shared, actually earlier this week, shared an interview that she did with Harlan Olson about a year ago on his centennial, just after his centennial birthday, his 100th birthday. She's done other interviews like that with the station. She and Judy Sawson managed to collect 40 station IDs during the cabin fever reliever this time. Isn't that amazing?
Really?
That is a record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even Heritage Days when we're out there for 3 days.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. Nicely done,
right.
Becky. And
Judy. Yeah, and they got it down to a system there. And it took me several days to get them chefed into shape to be sharing, but we have them all now.
Sweet.
Yeah, so this is Becky not praising herself, but speaking to community radio.
This is Becky. I'm not in Two Harbors for a few days, so I'm only getting KTWH if I choose to do a little bit of streaming, and I'm missing it. I miss the morning programs especially. It is just fun to have a different flavor of the programs every morning from 7 to 9. Each of the DJs does such a nice job with giving us the community events and music and interviews and bits of science from Bob Lukanen and just a lot of things all packed in. And I am so appreciative of all of those people who get up early in the morning to go to the station and get things started. And thank you to all of the volunteers who make KTWH happen. I think it is just lovely that we have community radio. Community radio. Thank you.
And thank you, Becky. You're part of what makes it happen.
For sure.
Right. And as I think... was that part of your interview with her just yesterday or someone else talking about her? She's a really devoted listener and often the first we hear about when something goes awry.
Yes, yep. She said that on my Thursday show, yep.
Okay, all right, yep. And if you're hearing Doris Day on our broadcast signal, it doesn't go out over the internet, but if something goes awry in the... linkage from the studio through the wires to the transmitter and up to the antenna on top of the tower. Anything along there goes amiss, we revert to an automatic backup of Paul Hansen intermittently informing you that we're having technical difficulties, but we'll be back as soon as we can, and then Doris Day entertains you meanwhile.
Right. Unless you're listening to Basement Jukebox on my Thursday show, I play Doris Day, and that has thrown. So I'm trying. I play more Patti Page than Doris Day now.
That's advisable, yeah.
Because Leah was like, I didn't realize that was the on air or off air cue. So,
right.
So Doris got bumped.
And no reflections on Doris.
No, not at all.
Somehow that got chosen to be up there ready on standby for the default system error songs. let's see. Either we can go into a fundraising tangent or I'm thinking of a volunteer team in our area here that I want to praise, and I had a personal experience with just in the last couple of weeks. So that is the Humane Society.
Mm.
And so I'll tell this story that has intrigued many people. this was a couple weeks ago. There was still ice, a lot of ice on the lake in my neighborhood. And there's an island not just across from the public access landing, but the dock wasn't out yet because there was so much ice in the lake still. And there was ice floating in this bay between the landing and the island. So no one at their cabins around that lake at this time of year, because you can't get to them either by most of them don't have road access. You couldn't get in your boat yet because there was too much ice, and couldn't use your snowmobiles because there's too much water. And there is one guy who lives over the winter in a cabin he can drive to right next to the public landing. And so I'm at home Monday afternoon, stormy Monday, and about 1:30 in the afternoon, I'm hearing a dog barking from the direction of the lake, and I cannot figure out, I think it's a dog, and I knew that Dave, the resident over there, doesn't have a dog, and I thought, that's really curious. Well, then we had storms, and I kind of forgot about it, and then Tuesday afternoon, I get a text from Dave at the lake saying, I'm hearing a dog barking from the island, and we both thought that was just so curious. At first, he thought it was a fox, maybe. But then I got a phone call from him about 6 p.m. because he could actually see the dog on the island, and that it was a dog, and it was barking, but it was afraid to swim over. By this time, the ice had gone out. Actually, just overnight, all of the ice had gone out. So it would be possible to swim, but it would be very cold. And so long story short, we rescued the dog from the island.
Nice.
And got him back over to Dave's. And the Humane Society put out a posting on Facebook almost immediately and wanted us to wait for however many hours it would take to get the owner to surface. But it was 7:30 or by the time that that message was posted. And we waited for an hour or so, and then I called the Humane Society again, and J. Dale Cavillin was willing to meet me at the kennel. We knew we would find the owner eventually because there was a vaccination number on the tag, and from the one of the local vet clinics, but no other identifying information. So we knew by the next business day we should be able to track down the owner, but I wasn't able to keep... It was such a sweet... She was so happy to see us. We pulled up to the dock in a canoe, and she was right there and just couldn't take enough cuddling and loving. Yeah, and so she got some food as soon as we got back over on the land side, and Peg brought up some more food, I really fell in love with that dog right away, but one reason I didn't want to keep it at home was because I have a woodchuck in the yard now.
Oh.
Whom I am very much enjoying, and I didn't want to discourage the woodchuck. And so right. I thought having a dog, even though she would not have been outside that long, but the thing is, J. Dale was willing to come out down to the Humane Society. There had been a meeting earlier that evening, but we were just a little too late to catch them there live for that. And the dedicated team there, Sarah, who got on Facebook immediately, and there were literally dozens of responses on the Facebook page of the Humane Society as soon as that went out. People are very tuned in to lost animals in this community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the owner herself did, about 11 p.m. that night, saw the posting on Facebook and responded and got in touch with the Humane Society and was able to pick up Lucy the next morning, and they were happily reunited. But I just love the work. It's the first time I've been in the kennel up there. Really nice building and nice accommodations mm-hmm. For the animals that stay there, but hopefully are taken home one place or another after that. So kudos to the Humane Society and everyone involved with that. Let's see where else we want to go with this. I could talk about things I've done in the past, but let's hear some more. Let's hear something from you, Michelle.
Okay, as far as the prompt and nonprofits or organizations. So let's see. Well, I just started with it, support for causes and organizations generally comes from your interest or your passion. And I show my support. I like to attend events, like purchasing tickets, going and to be actually present to show your support and to learn more. Writing a check is great. Don't get me wrong. That's amazing.
Right.
But I like to learn more of what the organization is about and their mission and meet maybe the people they serve or the animals they serve or to hear other passionate stories, to be around like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and my interests vary. But the top ones that are important to me are veteran-related services, the arts, and, of course, local community radio. Mm-hmm. And just community-based organizations. I volunteer for the tugboat, the Edna G here.
Mm-hmm.
And history has really become really important to me, too. And North Shore Horizons and children's-based organizations or causes, like, you know, the local school, their sports, their clubs, etc. And the Girl Scouts, I have a passion for Girl Scouts. I was a Girl Scout, so support them. So, and another part about going to events, I wanted to share this. This is hilarious. Usually events have some kind of a raffle or a silent auction. Mm-hmm. That's another way of raising money. Well, I was watching an old 90s series, to remain nameless, but one of the characters was kind of known to be pretty much an idiot. And he went with his friend to a highfalutin fundraiser, and there was a silent auction. And he's like, oh, my God, a sailboat, and they only want $65,000 for it. I'm signing up for that. And he was the highest bidder. And so at the end, they came, and they're like, okay, you just bought a boat for $65,000. He's like, well, I thought you were giving it away. I thought that was a good deal.
Oh, no.
So before you bid on a silent auction item, I guess is the moral of the story is, yes, it's a great fundraiser for whatever organization you're supporting, but if you put your name on that slip of paper, you are liable for it. So there's the little tip on that. So
good point. Yes. Well, speaking of events can be supportive of your favorite nonprofits, this would be a good time to interject things coming up this year for Two Harbors Community Radio.
Yes.
Since this is also a fun drive episode of Listeners' Voices. And this is just news to me. I don't know, it's fairly recently arranged, I think, set up. We have the last couple summers, I think, had some Catch the Wave concerts during the summer. And lo and behold, the 2025 Catch the Wave Summer Series is announced, is fixed here. And so I'll give you a heads up. First on this list is the Heritage Days engagement. This is not a Catch the Wave. I don't think it's considered Catch the Wave, but I do want to let you know July 11th and 12th are the big Heritage Day, peak of Heritage Day activity this year, Friday and Saturday. And we will be down there with, you can help us raise money at our dunk tank, which I believe is the same place. It's over near the stage, kind of near the, would be the east end of the parking lot there with the vendor village. And we will, of course, once again, also be broadcasting live from the Lutefisk Toss. Right, the dunk tank is in the Community Partners parking lot. And join us for the play-by-play of the Lutefisk Toss and find out whether or not the trophy goes home with the Norwegians or the Swedes, as well as other live broadcasts throughout Heritage Days. Stay tuned for some more details about that. We will also be doing, I believe, some live broadcasting from the Pride Festival going on down by the Edna G that afternoon, Saturday afternoon. Then these are the actual Catch the Wave events. Sunday, August 17th, save the date for our first Catch the Wave concert at Thomas Owens Park Bandshell. Free will concert. Be listening to KTWH for the music lineup and more details to come. Then August 24th, so that's just a week later, we'll be at the Clover Valley Farm Fest. Right, out at Agate Acres Farm.
Oh, nice.
That is just the most spectacular event. Mm-hmm. This will be the third year, I believe, and it's been spectacularly popular.
Yes.
So this, it's like an all-afternoon thing. It is all the vendors who take part in the Clover Valley Farm Trail all summer, which you'll hear more about as the season nears. They get together in one location and have booths, plus many other vendors. And we will have, as our musical guests at this year's Clover Valley Farm Fest, Born Too Late, a group we had on here many years ago as part of Dave's Beet Farm. Scarlet Woods has been here on the Beet Farm as well. Hannah Ray Trax. Now, is that, did she add a name to her name, or is that a group, I wonder? Hannah Ray Trax. And more. I will have to get an explanation of the Trax part.
Right, or maybe there's supposed to be a comma there, Hannah Ray and Trax. I don't know.
Is there, have you heard of Trax before? T-R-A-X. Yeah, we'll get more on the story.
Well, Trax is part of Born Too Late. He's the lead vocalist. That's the only Trax I know. So...
Interesting. Well, we'll have to sort this out.
Right. Do some detective work on this, but save the date. Lots of good music.
That's the important thing. August 24th. Yes. Yep. And for a complete lineup of vendors and performers, stay tuned to us here at KTWH, or you can also go online at clovervalleyfarmtrail.com. There's probably members of our FREP committee, the fundraising and... event planning, who are rolling in their chairs now. are screwing up the details here. But last but not least, Saturday, August 30th. Right, those were Sundays. The 17th and the 24th are Sundays. Saturday, August 30th, which is Labor Day weekend, is our final concert of the Summer Catch the Wave series featuring Tres Ossos. Is that, I've seen the name, I've never had to pronounce
it. Oh, Tres Ossos. Yep, Ossos, like three Tres Ossos.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. And another special act will be performing, and just stay tuned to us for more details, and these are all free will, family-friendly concerts. So, it's one way you can show your support, show up, and I'm sure there'll be donation options at the time, too.
Yes.
And just to show your appreciation of our service here. Rocktober, and what made me think of this too, the silent auction story. We always have a silent auction in our fall event, annual Harvest Moon Gala event. Rocktober begins the Harvest Moon Gala, and that'll be held at the American Legion once again. It looks like we don't have a date exactly fixed on that, but... we won't want to miss our local community, local artisan-driven silent auction with some of the most unique items along the North Shore. And there will be a fabulous lineup of music talent as well to be announced, so just stay tuned here. Okay, well, I think it's time for... Oh, we'll do this first. Since you mentioned the Edna G, that you've been involved with, that's another thing that... another effort that Becky contributes to with her time with the annual Christmas tea on the Edna G, as well as tours during the summer. I haven't heard specifics yet, but I'm sure there'll be lots of tours of the Edna G going on. And if you're from out of town and have no idea what the Edna G is, we'll see how much the song explains it if it needs more explanation. But here is a short little song about the Edna G.
In 1896, the Cleveland Company spent $35,000 to build a tug, and the tug was the Edna G. The Edna G was a very fine craft, and a very fine craft was she. She guided our boats down to the dock for nearly a century. She went out east during World War I, stayed home during World War II. She helped with fires and shipwreck boats like those of Madeira's crew. But now her working days are done, they're done for the Edna G. But she's safely moored into harbor shore, come and visit the Edna G. She's safely moored into harbor shore, come and visit the Edna G.
Well, that covered it pretty well.
Yes, it did. Yeah, that's awesome. And the tours, I've been a tour guide, are very comprehensive. Tom Cola wrote the script.
Okay.
So he's a local historian that and Navy person. And so you will learn lots on the Edna G.
Great. So it's parked right up next to the shore here at Van Hoven Park, which is right across from the ore docks. And eventually destined to be brought up on shore for the sake of its longevity. But a really interesting design of an exhibit that they have in mind. So that's kind of an ongoing fundraising effort, I believe. But thank you for all the volunteers who put your time and money into that effort as well. And I will have to mention the Historical Society. We can't really do it justice in this short time and without thinking about it more, but they on July 4th this year will be inaugurating the new light in the lighthouse, and I'm really looking forward to that.
And it's their 100th anniversary. I actually wrote an article, if you want to check out the Northern Wilds this month. It's running in May, all about the centennial celebration of our own Lake County Historical Society.
Great.
So you'll get the whole scoop on what they're planning on there too. So,
and they suffered some really unfortunate water damage this winter and have an extra added on fundraising effort. So we invite you to check that out if you're so inclined in the lighthouse building itself. Okay, well, here's a song we haven't shared yet. Speaking of the fun drive time here at KTWH, let's hear from Leslie and Carl.
Folks like what they hear. Our station is fun, that we are clear. Diverse, eclectic for all. Our mission's well built and we have a ball. For 9 years we've strengthened community, shared all the news. Cherish the folks who have stepped up to give us their views. Neighborhood culture reviews extend up the shore with your member dues. So please help us stay strong. It's easy to do. We're counting on you. With Leo and Michelle and Francis and Fran, Kim and Zach. Programs are super like Beef Farm and cover all stress. Tune in to Veteran Show, follow 61 and Northwoods Archives. Listeners' voices is new with input from you and the Frosty Buds. We just want to keep on and need help from all of you guys. That supporting to do so is really plain wise. So just go online, incentive gifts are perfect for you. With pledge, cash, or a card, do it right now, we're counting on you.
Thank you, Leslie and Carl.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. And giving really is easy and confidential. If you go online and click on the donate button, it's a secure, we've been using that system since the beginning. I've not heard any issues with it. It's very, very secure. Or, you know, you can mail us a check or bring it down
yes,
here.
Yes, P.O. Box 622, Two Harbors 55616. You can call to make a pledge. You can't really call to join online. You'd have to go online yourself, but we will take your pledge and help you figure out how to donate. And that number, by the way, and even while something is playing, well, there are two of us here. One of us could jump up and go answer the phone.
Yes, yes. I would gladly take your information. Yes.
And I'm here until at least 1 or 2 o'clock. The number, 218-595-6195. We would love to hear from anyone, and even just with some feedback or to know you're listening, because that's important. Also, donating wise, even if it's only a $5 donation, what really is important is numbers of donators, more than vast amounts of money coming in. How much you give, we really need to be able to show that there are listeners out here doing whatever they can. And if it's just a one-time $5 donation, that's fine. Or we were going to talk a little about sustaining memberships and the value of that.
Sustaining is a year-long pledge or an ongoing pledge that you can set it up through online that I believe it's got to be $10 or does it set up for $5?
I think there are $5.
Yeah, and if you just set it up for a whole year, then it's done and you don't have to think about it again. But for us here at the station, it really helps budget. If we know that we have X amount of sustaining members at this amount, we know how we can spend our money on a very, very tight budget. So sustaining members, it's easy for you. It's really nice for the for the board and for the financials. And I've been a sustaining member since the beginning, I think. And it's just really a simple way to give, and it's ongoing. It's just like a membership, and you'll get a note, you know, to renew.
Actually, they may be set up to go until you tell us otherwise. But
Now it is?
But okay. I think so, possibly. But okay. And I have also been a longtime sustainer, and you could check into your local financial institution to see if you can make the same arrangement. I'm a member of the Two Harbors Federal Credit Union, and they can arrange just to have an automatic transfer done every month, and they don't take any cut out of it. So that is the advantage. When you go online, somebody someplace has to go through a lot of bureaucratic digital fuss to work that out. And so they take a little cut out of it. And if your local financial institution is willing to do the same that Two Harbors Federal Credit Union does, you can have a direct transfer with no money going to anyone else. It all comes to us, which is a nice arrangement.
Which is very nice. And Fran mentioned at the top of the show that this year specifically, we are looking at upgrades for our studio soundproofing and lighting and some security and safety pieces. It's hard to believe, friend, that we have been in this studio for just about 10 years. Well, it was built 10 years ago. We were working the summer before we went on the air in September as our official 10-year anniversary. But, you know, just like carpet and lighting and equipment in your own house, 10 years is a long time.
Right.
And things get worn out. So that's what we're, our goal is for 7,000 this spring fund drive. So, and we're just about over halfway there. This has been a very successful fund drive. So thank you if you have already shown your support. And this goes until next Wednesday, the 14th. Mm-hmm. So you still have an opportunity to show your support.
Right. And we do have a ways to go. It's been successful, especially the early bird part got us off to a really good start. But we do have a ways to go still. So let's hear this little message. I'll give you the message about the floor covering, that part of the drive.
Oh, nice.
Hi. I'm Florence. I'm a carpet in the KTWH studio. And when I heard that they want to replace me, I was floored. Okay, so maybe I've been here since day one, and maybe I'm a bit wrinkled. Yeah, so have you looked into me all lately? Do you hear anyone asking for money to help replace you? Do ya? I didn't think so.
Welcome to the KTWH Spring Membership Fund Drive, where a portion of your donations will go to improving our KTWH studios with much-needed new flooring, new lighting, and new sound insulation for our recording and broadcast studios. You can donate online at ktwh.org, or you can stop by our studios in the Harbor Landing building. Just don't trip on the carpet.
I heard that.
Ah, it's one of our esteemed board members. We love whenever you do anything, Sherry, and we want to hear more.
Right.
So, I mean, Florence. Yes.
Yes, Florence. Yes. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. So, well, we've been hitting the fun drive part pretty hard. Let's hear what more you'd like to contribute, Michelle.
Yeah, with going with the prompt of what do you support and where do you give your money, one of the first things that popped into my head was I'm a sucker for lemonade stands. That's, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. It's just about that season to see those kids out there with their pitchers and their cups on their fold-up table. And, because... It's supporting and encouraging young entrepreneurs, and it's not just about the money, and definitely not about the beverages. It's usually not very good lemonade, but it is about skill building, and the skill building that's taking place, and the confidence, and holding a conversation. That's a very important skill, and to be able to interact and look an adult you don't know in the eye, that's right. Pretty dang important.
Yeah.
And the planning and the organization that goes into it, and the math skills, eye-hand coordination, pouring that big old pitcher and trying to hit your mark in the glass, patience. Sitting there all day, if you need to get rid of that lemonade and make some money for your skateboard, that's usually what they're raising money for. So the patience and the list goes on and on. But it could be about the cold beverage on a hot summer day too. Mm-hmm. So. You know, encourage those students when you see those lemonade stands out there.
Right, yeah. I did see one, I think, in Duluth just this week. I was in Duluth on that hot day, or one of the two hot days, I can't remember. And, yep, sure enough, they were out there already.
My kids started it when they were not even in school yet. They just thought that was the coolest thing, making it up, setting it out, writing their sign. And one year there was construction going on across the street. So they had an audience there for over a week. The guys would take their lunch break and come over and hit the lemonade stand. And they just thought that was the coolest thing. So, and now, my youngest son is an entrepreneur and just opened his own business this winter. And, learning those skills that he learned at the lemonade stand. And and my oldest son is a great communicator. And, so I think some of that has to do with them being out there, being responsible for their own lemonade stand. So start them when they're young.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Well, another way people donate their time or spend their time in a generous way is taking care of each other, and especially my generation as we age. A lot of us are spending a lot of time helping our friends who are aging in other ways, or in maybe harder ways than us. Several people in my life come to mind. I'm in my mid-70s, and my friends range from, I'm their friends down in their 40s, but also up into their mid-80s and even 97-year-old friend, and a 75-year-old friend of mine who's tending very attentively to the 97-year-old friend, visiting her often. It makes me think of that is a really generous way of people spending their time and being mutually supportive. And another member of our community who also donates a lot of time to the station here is spending a lot of her time this way. And I also want to acknowledge her efforts of editing the interview tracks that we play on Saturday Morning Mix, our dear volunteer Peg. And I bring her up because besides how generous she is with her time with the friends in her life, friends and family, she sent a reading in response to the previous program, we had a dual prompt 2 weeks ago. It was the personal impacts of our federal government changes going on at our federal government level now, and also Earth Day. And this is a reading from Thomas Berry, The Dream of the Earth, and I want to share this with you. It's just a couple paragraphs. What is clear is that the Earth is mandating that the human community assume a responsibility never assigned to any previous generation. The human community is passing from its stage of childhood into its adult stage of life. We must assume adult responsibilities. Our adolescent stage on the planet must end. It can no longer be only about us as a species alone. We must begin to see ourselves as one species among many. The Earth community becomes primary in all our concerns, not peripheral. This was true when The Dream of the Earth was first published by the Sierra Club in 1988, and it is a greater truth now. Actually, this, what I'm reading, was written in 2015, and even more so now in 2025.
Right.
An urgency is upon us. Climate change, extinction, and the loss of wild places is being grieved on every continent by those who are paying attention. The preeminent biologist E.O. Wilson says, "Half the planet must remain mild. Half the planet must remain wild if we are to survive." Or, as the religious scholar Mary Evelyn Tucker says, "If we are to flourish, we must see ourselves as part of the journey of the universe." So thank you, Peg. Really good words. I guess I'm going to close. Well, I was going to insert this excerpt, but it's a little too tight. I guess I don't want to have to cut it short. I actually played it as part of the Saturday morning mix, and it was an excerpt from the Earth Riot Radio series. We air now at 7 p.m. on Thursdays, and I encourage you to check that out. So we have, just about 3 minutes left here. I'll repeat that the prompt for the next Listener's Voices on May 24th was inspired by Richmond's camp song this morning. Summer camp, everything summer camp. Whether you were a camper and or a counselor, or your kids maybe, or anyone you know, any memorable experiences.
Or if you never went to camp and, you know.
Your feelings about that.
Yeah. Do you feel like you missed out on something? Was that not a thing? Maybe you did summer camping as a family.
Right. Could be about that too, right? Or any other summer thing. And it could have been, you know, some kids go to a summer hockey camp.
Exactly.
That comes under, you can expand it as much as you want. And as we mentioned earlier, you can always respond to previous prompts, which you would find many of them if you go to the website, ktwh.org. The program's drop down has listeners' voices down 3 or 4 or 5 categories. And I think at least the previous 4 months or so of programs are archived there, and you can see and listen to what has gone down before here on this program. This will be a good one. We'll go out here with a song that was written and performed by our high school students a few years ago, Jackson Leon and others performing here the Donate song.
Turn up your dial, just for a while, to 99.5, the sound is so alive. It's donate time, keep us on the air live, ktwh.org, click donate or call 4-218-595-6195, 218-595-6195, 218-595-6195. 218-595-6195, or make your checks out to KTWH, P.O. Box 622, Two Arbors, Minnesota 55616. 218-595-6195.
218-595-6195. 218-595-6195. 218-595-6195.